This is why until we're loved by Him, I'll have no idea how to love you. Because we grow up in a human sense of love, which is, as one of my friends defines it, love in a human sense is simply the mutual accommodation of self-need. Well, that's fancy language. What it means is, hey, we're friends. If I do some things that make you feel happy in some way, or I benefit you in some way, then I'm your friend. And if you benefit me in some way, then I'm your friend, and we have a friendship. But if something happens and no longer can you benefit me, or no longer, or you do something that hurts me, then the friendship breaks and it shatters. Our friendships, and we even talk about it in a romantic sense, about falling in love when there's this mutual beneficial relationship, and then when something goes wrong and it gets to a difficult moment and I don't feel loved, then we talk about falling out of love. And our whole sense of love is self-based. It's all about me. The love of the Father is not all about Him. It's all about you. When Jesus comes in the orbit of a woman at a well, Zacchaeus, they are coming in the orbit of someone who is others focused. He doesn't go through life. Jesus didn't, with this self-preferring nature we call sin, which no matter what kind of situation I'm in, here's what that self-preferring nature is like. Whatever situation I'm in, I look to either maximize whatever joy there might be in that for me, or I look to minimize whatever pain there might be in that for me. Whatever relationship I'm involved in is very self-focused. And it's good when I get something out of it, and it's not good when I don't. And we measure love based on something that God doesn't know. Because God's sense of love is, greater love hath no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. I'm giving to you, whether or not you ever give back. That's how Jesus lived it. He loved those guys. Through their stupid moments of wanting to call down fire on the Samaritans, through the fighting over who's first in the kingdom, He loved them. He kept loving them. And it's that love that transforms them. That's what Jesus knows about this love. Do you see this? If I only love you because God told me I had to, and if I don't act loving towards you, or better yet, my neighbor next door, if I don't love them and act loving towards them, then God's going to be disappointed in me. Then notice, my loving them is still about me, isn't it? If I don't love them, I'll feel guilty. I don't want to feel guilty, so I'm going to love them. If I sit down in an airline next to a person, and my job there is to convert him to the kingdom, then I'm doing that for me. And then I'm not really going to love him, I'm going to manipulate him. Or if I love him, and I don't need anything from him, and whether he acknowledges Jesus or not sitting next to me in a plane isn't the issue. The issue is, can I express to him the same love of the Father that's been expressed to me? Whether or not he comes, whether or not he sees it, whether or not he acknowledges it. If I'm loving you as a slave, I am just doing for you what benefits me, and it's still all about me. When Jesus invites Zacchaeus home, man, the scandal in the crowd was incredible. How can he go home with that guy? That is the cruddiest person in the world. That's like Jesus going to Houston and going out to lunch with the directors of Enron. It's like, what are you doing that for? These guys are idiots. We're paying 25% more on our electric bills in California because of those guys. You can't go to lunch with them. That's exactly what the crowd was saying. And Zacchaeus is very aware that the crowd is murmuring that. But he's come near someone now that wasn't saying, I'm worried about my association with Zacchaeus, what it's going to look like to them. Jesus wasn't worried about that. He was there to love Zacchaeus. And that love for Zacchaeus, when Zacchaeus came in the orbit of an others focused person, it changed him. Let's look at 1 John, another major voice in the New Testament. Here's what John says about this. God is love. And whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. If I do what I do for God because I'm afraid of the consequences if I don't, I'm still missing the best of what this kingdom has to offer. John says you will not be perfected in fear. What perfects us is love. Love transforms us. When I get a sense of the Father's affection for me, and I learn to live that alongside other people, that's when Wayne becomes increasingly transformed by the life of Jesus. And I can't do that. I can't live in circumstances. I can't live in situations unaware of myself and my needs and maximizing my joy or minimizing my pain until I know that all my joy and all my pains are somehow in God. And he's big enough to watch my back, take care of me. See, what we learned in kindergarten was, if you don't look out for yourself, no one else will. And we've grown up jaded. We've grown up with defenses that, you know, are always looking out for how I could get hurt in this or how I could maximize. And I want to be that person's friend because that'd be really good for me. And all about us. And we miss the life of relationships, which is, I don't have to look out for my benefit because my Father is every day. I don't have to look out how to minimize my pain because I've got a Father who can walk through any pain with me and make me whole through it. I've got a Father like that.